Hey guys, welcome to Love People and Make Money. I'm Kelly McCauzy. I'm your host. I'm so glad I get to spend some time with you today. Before we jump into this episode, I do need to issue a profanity warning. I am swearing in this episode. I have marked the episode explicit, so I want to give you a little countdown so that if you have any little ears in the room and you're not wearing headphones, you can get those headphones on or find a time to listen when they're not around. So, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Okay, no little ears, right? I've written a book with some co-authors, and the name of the book is Get Past Your Shit. Yeah, I'm going to say shit a lot in this episode and in the upcoming episodes where I'm interviewing my co-authors. I might even let the F word fly. So, yeah, that's why I have this little warning in the head of the episode. I'll put this warning on every episode where I swear. I don't always swear. So, you know. But this book, the name of the book is Get Past Your Shit. Yeah, you're going to hear the word. Shit means fears, insecurities, circumstances, limitations, perceived limitations, all the things you let stop you from doing what you want to do in your life and in your business. So rather than say fears, insecurities, circumstances, and perceived limitations, I just say shit. I'm inviting you through these interviews and through the book project to get past your shit. Whew! Let's go. Hello and welcome to Love People and Make Money, episode number 58. I'm Kelly McCauzy. Have we met? I am a blogger, a podcaster, a business coach, an affiliate marketer. I own a web hosting company, momwebs.com. I am a co-owner of two PLR companies, White Label Perks and Daily Faith. I love my life as an entrepreneur so much. Having multiple projects, multiple streams of income gives me options and stability like you would not believe. And someone asked me recently, how do I be you? I want to have all these different businesses. I want to have all these different income streams. I want to do it all. And I said, great. Let's pick one to focus on for a really long time. And she goes, yeah. Like I'll focus on one for a straight month. I said, no, you're going to focus on one for a straight year or two. And she said, no. I want multiple streams of income. Here's the thing. I didn't start all of these businesses at once. I actually started with a completely different business of doing graphic design and web design. I was a service provider. My PLR companies, they were only started in 2016. There's the diversity of my business, these beautiful multiple streams of income, they're there and they're providing consistently because they all in turn got very dedicated attention so that today, all these years later, I can tend to them all over the course of a month. But again, always, there has to be some dedicated attention paid to each one on a consistent basis, or something's going to start to flounder. So, if you want to be a multi-hyphenate entrepreneur, if you want to have different businesses and multiple streams of income, focus on one at a time. And if you're brand new, make that one your most passionate and favorite one, because giving it all your time and attention for a year or two requires love. Love for what you're doing, love for the community that you're serving. You can love people and make money, and it requires focus. Stepping down off my soapbox there for a moment. Oh my gosh, I am so excited, you guys. We're about to chat with another of my favorite people in the whole world. I asked her to adopt me once. She said yes. I just haven't quite made it a priority to move in. She does live in another state, so it makes it difficult. But her willingness is what matters. Let's go have a chat with Marusha Murphy. Hey, everybody. Welcome back. I'm joined now by my friend Marusha Murphy.
Hello.
Marusha, I've got the perky perky in my cup right now.
Oh, well then cheers. I have perky perky in my cup too.
I love your mug. Your mug is, you guys can't see it, but her mug is so cool.
Thank you.
Like, how warm is your hand right now?
It is very nicely warmed. And yeah, it's actually would be perfect for those Michigan winters. I found this, it's a handmade mug, and I found it at a local boutique store in Austin. However, I think they're now selling on Amazon, so I'll send you a link to these mugs, because I was just like blown away that I was able to get one for a friend of mine last month. I was super excited.
That is so unique. I got a new mug for myself, a handmade mug. It says, I do what I want, which is my essence statement from my radical leadership retreat. Mm. And I've never spent so much on a mug, but it cost me $52 to have this custom made.
Wow.
All hand formed and stamped and all that. And my daughter-in-law won't let me keep it in the cupboard because she's afraid that something will happen to it.
You know, that is a smart, smart woman right there.
Yep. I have a thing for mugs. So yeah, you can send me the link.
I will. I'll be more than glad to.
Marushi, you are the founder of Perky Perky Coffee. Yes. But that you do so much more. What do you want everyone to know about you?
Yeah. Oh gosh. Thanks. Thanks for that question. I want them to know that I'm a big, huge love bug. And my goal always is to invite people to shine and show up for themselves and for their lives. That shows up as the founder of Perky Perky Coffee, which is a coffee company that's all about inviting us to step into our power each and every day and to do each day powerfully. And I do that in a variety of ways through this little coffee company that could. I also, though, am an architect of communities. Like, I help grow and cultivate community for different entrepreneurial endeavors that people have. And so that has been something that I've honestly been owning and getting past my shit around over the last 6 to 8 months, just like finally owning it. People are like, you've been doing this forever. Can you just like be okay with it? And be like, oh, right, maybe I could. But the truth is, that's exactly what I do. It's I come and partner with brands and with companies to really serve in a way, to serve those brands and companies to be able to see the power of creating a very intentional and empowered community for their businesses. So while I'm not being a drug dealer selling caffeine, I'm inviting people to build relationships and connection in community.
Yeah, someday maybe Perky Perky will have a decaffeinated brand, and then mm-hmm. I can Perky Perky all day. I can only perky perky in the morning.
I understand this.
I treasure my morning perk.
Yeah. I am such a snob about coffee. I'm the bottleneck right now in my company when it comes to decaf. There's just not very many good ones.
Mm-hmm.
Really struggling to find a good decaf roast that I'm like proud of, you know? So until I find that, it's just not going to happen. But I will make sure it does happen. I am on a quest to finding the right decaf.
I hear other people say they can't stand decaf, and what I take away from that is I don't have a very sophisticated coffee palate.
You know, honestly, it's not that though. I think it for me, I can taste the process that it takes to take to get a coffee because coffee beans are naturally caffeinated, right?
Yeah.
So for the process, there's a variety of different ways in which you can decaffeinate a bean. One of those ways is the most popular way. It actually there it's a chemicalization process. So it's not a, you know, it's not there's chemicals going in. So I'm not going to use that model because
Yeah.
obviously everything I'm about is, you know, what's, you know, we put good things into our body. So, but there are two different types of decaffeinization processes that are water-based, and it's awesome, but it can also like really wear down the flavor of the bean. So it has to be a bean that can hold its flavor, or a blend that can hold its flavor while also going through that process. And that's what I'm on the search for right now.
Well, then I'm excited because when you finally nail it with something you're happy with, it's probably going to blow my mind.
Oh. Well, I'm excited to make sure you're the first person that will try that
I
once they get it.
have a intriguing question for you as a community builder. I know that businesses, brands are hiring you to come and consult with them
Yeah.
to build and leverage and love on their communities. Is there a major brand out there? Something, a company you adore that you find yourself thinking, man, I would love to get a hand on their communities. I bet I could change something for the better.
Yeah, gosh, let me think for a second here. You know, one of the companies that I, so this is my first year homeschooling, right? With the pandemic and all, it finally kind of gave us a push in that direction. So I wouldn't say there's necessarily one brand, but there are, I'm looking in the homeschooling space, and while there are curriculums and there are individuals that have so many incredible people at the helm of those businesses, a lot of times there's nothing for moms like me who want to have like, or, you know, specifically the way in which I want to teach my kids, it's very much from like a world cultures view. And there's really nothing for us that I've found yet that feels aligned, that's not necessarily religious or spirit or, you know, Christian. I'm a follower of Jesus, but I wanted something that is much more whole and have lots of different belief systems in it so that we can talk that through. I'm not finding anything like that. And I guess what I'm trying to say is like, I would love to be that person in that homeschooling community where I'm kind of like stirring the pot around that conversation and bringing other homeschooling families together. So I know that's not what you're asking, but that's really what's on my mind and my heart right now these days is how can we, you know, no matter what faith, we can feel welcomed in the homeschooling space. It's just hard to find. It's really hard to find. So I'm kind of in this place right now where that's one of the things that's been percolating for me. It's like, I don't, not that I want to be that face because I have a lot already on my plate, but are there companies or brands that are doing it and just need better ways in which they're building their community? Like I want to find those individuals that are doing it and find ways to partner with them to get more of that education out there into the world, because right now, especially in this day and age, I think we need it more than ever. You think?
You're answering the question I posted on Facebook this morning was like, when the world seems batshit crazy, just ask, what do I want to create more of in the world? And that's, you want to be part of creating that.
I do. I mean, I feel like right now we're in such a reformation of education and we're in this renaissance. There's so much possibility. And if this little piece, it's not very little, but if this piece falls through the cracks, oh, we're in some serious doo-doo moving forward, right? So that's where my heart is right there. And it's in those conversations about what does it look like to really be in this renaissance of education and bring in what matters, which are the diverse voices of our world, and bring that to light for our children so that it's just a part of their education. It's just a part of who they are. So yeah, really interested in that right now.
I homeschooled my son. I mean, he's 30. It's been a really long time, but I went through such a transition of when I first started to homeschool, I was using Alpha Omega curriculum because, we were Christians on staff at my church, and that's just what you did if you homeschooled. You went and bought the Christian curriculum and you followed the books. And then that didn't provide as complete perspective on everything, so we always had to piecemeal other bits and chunks. And then at one point, I really went unschooler. There was a couple years of just pure unschooling where it's impossible for me not to teach my child because I'm a voracious reader. Everything he consumed, I was asking him to think critically about and write about and express an opinion about. And there was another teacher, another homeschooler one day. I was stressing out about tests because he was stressing out about tests. And she said, "Who said you have to test?" And it blew my mind. And that's what created the unschooling revolution for me. But then, as he got close to high school, he started to think maybe he'd like to go into the military. And so everything tipped over, and we used a curriculum. Back then, it wasn't online. So it was mail-in curriculum where he got books and studied them and took tests and sent them in. And just in case he needed that full technical transcript. And then he didn't go into the military. But he, so he, I experienced all different kinds of homeschooling, one kid. And you've got three. So, woohoo, what a journey.
Thank God. My partner is super into homeschooling with me. Like he's co-schooling with me 100%. And that's it. Like I'm starting to learn, I'm grateful for other women like you and some other friends who've given me their wisdom so that we can like make our decision on what feels right for our family. And the long and the short of it is that he really is so patient and I am so not. So I focus on the things that I can do well, like social emotional learning, the prayer and meditation, body movement, doing read alouds. Like I'm great. Like I can handle that with my first, second, and sixth grader. And he is so patient and he will go through math like for the 10th time in one day. And I'm just like, bless your heart. Like, you really do this. You're really good. I'm grateful that you're in my life and you're there, that you're their father and that you like to do this. Thank
You are
you.
so blessed.
So glad.
I hired a math tutor because I'm a high school dropout, and my math education borked somewhere around eighth grade. So I couldn't have helped him if I wanted to.
It's a thing. It's a real thing. And grateful for Khan Academy and grateful for the other programs that they have now. But even so, my sixth grader, she is a hands-on kinesthetic learner through and through. And for her to hear someone in a recording talk about math, it just makes her batshit crazy. Just like, and she goes crazy. So grateful for Dennis, grateful for his patience. It's truly a blessing. Yeah, it's a built-in tutor in our house. Hallelujah.
So with your amazing skill set around building a community that is profitable, that meets the beautiful needs of people and finds the profit. You know, loving people and making money. It's my favorite mix.
Yeah.
So you're holding some space. There's someone out there, maybe listening right now, who's like, oh my God, I'm your person. I want to create that amazing worldview curriculum that embraces everyone. Like, you guys call on Marusha, share your vision. Maybe there's magic to be made.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And thank you for bringing me here to share that with them. Because if they're, who knows? Maybe there is that person who's been wanting to figure out the marketing side and the community building side. And I'm your gal. That's what I do. That's what I do really well.
I feel, so I asked you if there was a brand you could think of. And I can't think of a brand, but I can think of an industry that desperately needs some community help.
Mm.
And that is home security. I just installed security cameras outside.
Oh.
And I'm just spy Nana. I just want to see what's happening out in the yard when my granddaughter's playing. And the space, the concerns about privacy, the desire for security, the communicating about you know, how it works and how you can use it. And there's such a lack of community around it that mm-hmm. new users are so frustrated.
Mm.
And I feel like, sorry, this is a strange sidebar and it's coming right off the top of my head, but I feel like one of these home security companies needs a Marusha to come in and say, what do these users really care about? And how do we bring them together so that they're communicating with each other and us, and we're making the product better and we're providing exactly what they need and continuing to create profit.
Right.
Because they're doing a shit job. That's what they're doing.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting they say that. I have a client who is in the crypto space, cryptocurrency, and they're doing goodness. They're like, they came to me, they're turning around anywhere between $1.5 to $2 million a month in sales. And they're also having a 25 to 30% refund rate. Hello. So exactly. So you think about it from, there's a couple big, like, what is happening here? And they came to me desperately, like, help, because this is going to shut us down. Like, we are, our payment processing is not going to want to work with us anymore. And that's number one. And number two, we have no idea. Like, we have the content, the content's great, and we have our programs, but now what? And so we really, that's where they started. And as of last week, I was working with when I work with a company, I'm not just working with like the CEO of the company or the visionary of the company. I'm really working with where the problem lies. And in this particular case, I was recognizing that there's multiple areas in their company where community is breaking down.
Yeah.
Customer support has no clue how to build out their like build from a vision and from the values of the company. And then from there, like, what are they doing to serve those customers in a way that feels aligned, right? So we're working in customer support, we're working in the systems, we're working in how the product is being delivered. It's all of these different areas. Mm-hmm. And then on the back end, we're working on the engagement in an actual like online community space, but they're all interconnected. And oftentimes people don't realize that part, you know? Just like probably most home security companies. They're just like, we just have a great product and people want it. So here, it makes so much more money if they realize that it is one system and there's different parts to it that make a whole. So
a giant refund rate is a personal connection problem.
Right.
Because I know people with shit products who don't get very much refunds, just because I'm sorry for saying that. There's perfectly nice people with shit products and people don't ask for their money back. So if they've got a great product and people are asking for their money back, it's because there's a lack of personal connection.
It's a lack of personal connection, exactly. And last week when I was talking to their team to finish up that thought, they had less than 10 in the entire month of September, which is massive, you guys.
Yeah.
What an endeavor that we've had. You know, what a gift. Like work started working with them in June. September, they went from, you know, 30% down to 10 in a month. Holy moly.
Yeah.
What the heck? So that felt really good. That's where I know I'm making movement. And I think if more industries can recognize, oh, maybe it is a whole experience, not just like what's happening in the Facebook group or their online forum, things can
Yeah.
shift, really shift.
The big example of this company that I bought from is that I've gotten better customer support from the comment area of people complaining about the product than I've gotten from the company. Like I couldn't search their FAQ and find an answer. I searched people's complaints. And enough people go, this doesn't work, this doesn't work, this doesn't work. And then someone else says, here's how I fixed it. Like, that's where I found my answer. I'm like, y'all are failing bad.
That's
When
not good.
you make frustrated people provide their own customer service.
Right. Doesn't look like a brand.
But well, thank goodness you're out there making an impact with that company.
Thank you. Yeah, it's been fun. It's definitely, you know, it's me stepping into my superpowers, you know, like when I closed that deal and they said yes, and I have another really big one in the pipeline as well. And or that actually chose to be a client last week. You know, it's me stepping in and getting out of my own fear and getting out of my own doubts that I actually have the gifts to do this work. Right, like a lot of you know what we've been talking about with you know in actually putting my chapter into the book, Get Past Your Shit, was really like it was enlightening to me to how much I've done my work and this journey of entrepreneurship. And I know you've probably heard me say this, Kelly, but I believe this journey of entrepreneurship is like getting a PhD in your own personal development. And it's constantly a journey of just saying yes to the person that you want to become and the person that you already are, and push those fears beyond you, like to the side of you, so you can keep walking through, and you know, head tall and walking straight through that, to get to the other side of that. And you know, I'm still in that place, you know, as I said, you know, and it wasn't until COVID hit that I finally was like, who do I really want to play to be, you know, who do I want to play? How do I want to play? Who do I want to become? And when I finally got clear and stopped bullshitting myself around that, that's when I really started to claim the fact that, oh, I love like everything I've ever touched from when the time I was 18 years old and built my first offline community till now at 40 years old. That's been my common thread. It's just building connection and relationship in a way that feels aligned and authentic. But that felt scary because it feels like that I'm being exposed, right? Like here I am actually showing up in my gifts. What if it doesn't work? But the truth is, it's like that's just all fear. It can work if you just fully give yourself permission to go in and lead from that conviction that you have within ourselves, you know? That we each have it within ourselves. So that's me trying to like navigate this newness of it, and grateful that I did, because the kinds of clients I get to work with are some are big clients, some of them are small, and both are fabulous and so much fun. Because I can see how, especially in the small companies with solo entrepreneurs or people who have maybe one or two team members, every little bit actually matters, every single little bit. And to know that I can make that kind of an impact in their business and in their livelihood, so that it now ripples into everything that they do, feels really exciting and really good to be able to serve in that way, you know?
I do. Marusha, I've been asking everyone, why did you say yes to being part of the book project?
That's a good question. For me, I said yes because I knew that this was a story that needed to get out. I am passionate. My larger vision in this world is to help 1 million women create their own economy. What does that mean? It for me as a woman who and you know in the book I share a big part of my story about how I finally was like, no more, no way, no how, we're done with this old story. I want other women to know that if right now your life circumstances are not how you expected them to be, that this is not the end of your story. This is just a chapter in your story. So for me, when I saw the working title, you know, and which ended up being the title of the book, and really knew who else was a part of this, like you, Kelly, and Lady Raven, and so many other incredible women, Nicole Dean, you know, I knew that this was something I wanted to be a part of, and I wanted to put my name on, and really support the people I get to serve with my story as well.
Every story is my favorite, every single one. But you are in here as chapter 8, between Benicia Ponder and Dr. Melissa Peet. And the experience for me, I didn't read these stories until they had been finalized and proofed, because I just wanted to enjoy them.
Yeah.
And so some of these stories I know, like I know you, but your storytelling was so amazing. And to go back and experience some of this again and just be reminded how amazing you are, the shit that you've gotten past to create more of what you want in the world is so inspiring. Thank you for being part of it.
And it was such a pleasure. And it was, and honestly, there was points in, when writing the story, I started to just cry. I didn't realize how much healing I needed to have in this process also. So I'm glad that it was supportive for you, and that you found a lot of value in it. And I hope that the readers do as well, because it was my heart on paper as I was writing it.
What was it like to work with Karen Crompton, our story coach?
Oh, she was wonderful. I actually really enjoyed that process because she helped me see, you know, I can be wordy. You guys probably have gotten that already a little bit here, but I can be. And so she helped me really share my story in a way that really can draw attention to what I really wanted to get out into the world. So that was truly a powerful experience. Because I write a lot, I talk a lot, I have spaces in my life to share, but I don't often have a story coach sitting with me, inviting me to share it in a way that really can help capture attention to the point I'm bring to. So that was a great process, and I really enjoyed doing that, working with Karen for sure.
You said you experienced you know, a lot of emotion in writing the chapter. I think that's been a common thread in conversations with the other authors, is that it was a quite the experience to go back and read, especially when you're telling an older story.
Yeah.
To tap back into what was they thinking and feeling, what was I afraid of, and it feels a little distant, but when you really dwell on the story, it comes back.
Yeah.
I know I re-experience things from a perspective of really like loving myself more deeply. Taking back with me the self-love I have today that I didn't have then into the stories. What do you want for our readers? What would you love a reader to get from your story?
That's a good question. I think the biggest thing I'd want them to experience as they read it is to really get clear on the person that they know is within them already. To recognize that she's already there or he's already there. That as you are enough and you are possible. And you don't have to pretend. You don't have to pretend that you're enough. You are enough. Plain and simple. Yeah. I really want people to recognize that. I wish I knew that back then.
Me too. Me too. Sooner. Sooner. Marosha, thank you so much for making time to talk with me today. I appreciate you.
Oh, appreciate you too, Kelly. Thank you for having me. This was a lot of fun today. It was a great way to start my day.
Welcome back to episode number 58 of Love People and Make Money. You're here with Kelly. Oh, it's time to go get your copy of Get Past Your Shit. Go to getpastyourshit.com. Go over to Amazon. The Kindle is only $2.99. Come back. Claim the group coaching intensive. Oh, I can't wait to spend that time with you. Hopefully you're listening to this before the intensive starts, but even if you're listening to it later, claim self-study access to it. It's my gift to you for buying the book. It's my gift to you. It represents my gratitude that you resonate with the message and you want to get past your shit. There's so much to celebrate about that willingness. So whether you're doing the coaching with us live or tackling it later with the self-coaching tools, do it. Do it. You won't regret it. Thanks for spending this time with me. See you in the next episode.